This is Jeff Chrisman, and I'm on the Living Arts of Tulsa podcast this morning, and very happy to be visiting with artist Spencer Plumlee. Spencer, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Hi, Jeff. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I thought what we would do to start off with for viewers or listeners who might not be familiar with your work and to learn more about you, what I thought I would do is ask if you'd like to share just a little bit about your work. Any inspirations and anything you'd like to share about your artistic perspective?
Okay. Yes. So a lot of my work is surrounded by the idea of like time capsules and trying to capture moments in time from my like contemporary surroundings. So art history really kind of propels my direction forward as far as just like thinking about how an image can be preserved in time and taking moments that I've personally experienced in order to create almost like a canon of work that will change and be altered and throughout history. And a lot of my, so I'm a painter and I predominantly do oil and acrylic and I do figural paintings. And a lot of them are of pictures of my friends and their like intimate spaces and just like interior scenes. I've done a couple outdoor scenes, but a lot of it is based off interior like intimacy. And at heart, I'm pretty much a colorist, I would say. Like color informs almost all of my decisions as a painter and moving forward. But yeah. Does that answer?
Absolutely. Thank you. And I was going to ask, I find this the concept or the idea of a time capsule or kind of a snapshot in time. And I just wanted to ask a little bit about, was there any defining moment or a point in your journey where you, that was really speaking to you?
Yes. So in sixth grade, we made like a time capsule in an old like 2-liter Sprite camp. And by eighth grade, we unburied them, and we all just got embarrassed by all the weird stuff that we said as a sixth grader. As a eighth grader, like we had a lot more experience to to really, you know, compare notes. But I just thought that image like of having something be preserved, you know, it is almost like constantly fighting against the entropy of time. And that, I think that's one of the biggest things that artists can do in like preserving an experience and like, what does it mean to experience like right now? And then be able to experience multiple moments and like years in the future from what is now and then experience it at a different now, if that makes sense. And I just, that blew my mind that it would even be possible to even do that. It's almost like my art acts as like a yearbook photo for like moments in time.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the main like influences, I would say. And I kind of subscribe to the idea that everything is a mirror as well. And if like we can capture our experiences, like we can also capture like a self, like kind of reflection and introspection on a level that can only be, I think, articulated through painting. So.
Yeah. And then I'm wondering too, does that in any way, do you find that, does that affect how you experience each moment? You know, as far as each present moment or, you know, wherever you find yourself, whatever is going on, does that kind of change your eye, so to speak, or just your...
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
I'm always on like the lookout, I would say, for like moments that I would want to preserve, you know what I mean? Almost like an active practicing like social scrap, just like scrapbooker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would absolutely say that it has changed my outlook on just living normal life. Every moment that could be not mundane or, you know, even the really boring ones can still be a moment where, you know, you could have an experience and it is an experience, and it kind of, I don't know. It drives home that every waking moment is important and the ability to experience it is a privilege.
Yeah, I like that. And then as far as, you know, when you're speaking, as far as the mundane or just those, you know, kind of those, what I heard someone use once the phrase, I don't know if this applies, extraordinary ordinariness, you know, just those ordinary moments of life. And I'm wondering if in some way, do you find that that changes just the way that you experience those moments, or when it may be seeming, when it's seemingly like nothing really extraordinary is happening? Or?
I would agree. I think like saying nothing or doing nothing is still doing or saying something, you know?
Yeah.
And that, and like, I find that as time goes on, that a lot of the most moments that I thought were boring or, you know, like not interesting then are like some of what I hold dear the most moving forward in life. And I, painting's just a way for me to kind of like outlet that and experience that and almost like honor that time and that space with either with other people or just my own past experiences and time.
Yeah, and as far as do you find that sometimes the things that you're experiencing away, you know, away from creating, do you find that some of those things that, you know, will tend to inform your work as well? Or, you know, sometimes when you're just, you know, when you're not necessarily actively, you know, in that creating mode, so to speak.
Right. I think, yes, I think everything can be used as research or for, you know, for whatever, like music especially, is very important to me, as we've talked about and a little bit. And I would say that just listening to music and being immersed in different types of art forms can really help open up the perspective of how I can create and not create, even if I'm not actively creating something myself. Like I'm also just experiencing things and trying to always be aware that I could take something and learn from it and use it in the future is like a very like almost like a mindfulness practice, it seems.
Yeah.
And so I would say that that's kind of how I go about living life, trying to. It's not a perfect practice, you know. I'm constantly trying to get better at it. But so yes, did that answer your question?
Oh, definitely, absolutely.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and then also, you know, realizing that I know artists, you know, some of the time is, you know, generally spent in isolation working or could be collaborating with others. And then what I'd like to do too, maybe just, you know, during this time, just hearing a little bit about, you know, maybe any reflections that you've had about the importance of community and any experiences that you've had, you know, since the pandemic that that you could speak to as far as maybe how it's changed the way you look at those things.
So I just completed a series called Bedroom Talk. It was a series of 6 portraits of my friends in their bedrooms. And I completed like an interview portion with them. And I made like a video portion as well with the interviews. And that happened, was completed right before the pandemic hit. Probably like 3 weeks right before the pandemic really became a reality for people in Oklahoma. And that in itself, I had no idea how much would change in just like 4 months, you know, as far as being able to be in someone's space like that, being invited without like that overarching like fear or paranoia that the pandemic has brought to all of our like social situations now. And that intimacy of just casually being invited to someone's house and being able to see all their stuff in their room for the first time, that like special type of intimacy is just completely different now. And like during quarantine and during all of that really heavy isolation after painting for so long and you know, and already being kind of isolated, it was so strange and surreal to look back at these paintings because they're kind of like escapism portraits now. Because I know like through Zoom, we all talk about how we're all seeing into each other's spaces now at a different rate and how that can be like a new weird like social landscape to navigate. And like looking back at these portraits and even looking back at the interviews during quarantine, I would just rewatch them like a podcast and just listen to me talking to my friends. And that sounds so sad. And I would just listen to my friends talk to me and just like realize that it's a luxury to be able to talk to your friends in person. It's not a given. It's a privilege. And like it really just hammered home that everything is about relationships in life. Everything is interconnected, and that's one of the main things that I've reflected on being in isolation, I guess.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I find that so interesting that, you know, on a couple of different levels. In other words, I was wondering too, as far as what that experience is in terms of what feedback that you got from your friends. In other words, maybe anything that you could share as far as what this was like for them to have you come in and be in their space with them.
Right. So it was pretty normal, like when we did it. And then after it, like some people lost their houses due to COVID. Like, so those spaces don't even exist as they like were when we made the portraits, you know. A lot of people moved out, you know, had different, like completely changed their appearance and things, like just coping with life in the 4 months that we've all had that have been so dramatic and so like unlike any year that we've ever had. And, you know, and so they're like looking back at a time that I think of like ignorance of what is to come. And it's like, they're like looking at themselves on a like a different timeline almost, like right before everything happened. And it's really weird. And they love them. And a lot of them had never been painted like that before. And, because they're huge. They're like 5-foot by 4-foot paintings. They're very, very big. And so like them going and like seeing the paintings in person, they just like sat underneath them and like they had fun recognizing all their little things within their rooms and like the insider like details, you know, that could really propel any viewer forward should they know. It's like I like to put secrets in my paintings. And like between me and the people, or like me and myself, and that's kind of like an outlet in a sense as well, where I don't have to explain it if I don't want to, but it's there if you want to like look and examine further. It's kind of like an I spy rewarding situation. And so a lot of them just reiterated that they were thankful that they got to preserve that moment in time and that space right before everything completely changed forever.
Yeah. And I wonder too, as far as, I wonder if this in some way, has it made you change the way you see your life when you are in isolation or when you are on your own, just in terms of, you know, actually, you know, hearing those interviews and just remembering that time, you know, has that been somewhat of a feedback loop to affect maybe the way that you feel now about how life is, you know, since that time?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, in a sense, it just kind of makes me thankful that, you know, that I have those people still, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like harder consequences didn't happen, you know, because of the state of the world. And even if they had, like, I would have preserved not only the paintings, but also just the video interviews as well, like a full rounded kind of experience and different ways to enter through that project that I made. And that in itself is just gonna, I can't wait to keep revisiting it like later and like 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, and just see how much changes and actually like follow up, I think. And I might ask the same interview questions. I might, you know, I might not, I might have different ones, but I'm just excited, I would say. I'm just excited to see what's gonna happen because it's already been such a drastic change that I feel like it's only going to get weirder and more strange as time goes on, like life does. But yeah, so.
That's, it's so interesting too, to think, in fact, I don't think I've ever found myself, this is the first time this has come up, because I tend to really focus more just on the here and now and, you know, what we're currently going through in terms of having conversations. But what you've said really is speaking to me, and so it really leads me to ask you, can you envision, you know, based on this, you know, in your experiences and looking back, you know, at these interviews and those experiences, do you find yourself, or if I could ask you, you know, if you do, maybe what you see in the future or what, you know, some of those hopes for the future are?
That's a good question. I think, Oh man. I think it's forever going to be different. Like, I think that world that we knew is gone, and that's okay. It's just, things are going to be ever evolving and ever different. And I think I have like a lot of ideas as far as like what post-vaccine world could look like versus the period of time in between that, you know, that can keep getting, you know, even more, I don't know, rocky is maybe the word, just strange. And I don't know, I think things will be a lot cleaner as they already are. And I think that masks are gonna, you know, continue to be used hopefully in a lot of social situations. I feel like many people are going to start choosing what, like they already are, choosing what to keep and what not to keep as far as like safety measures and for, you know, like spreading interpersonal diseases or anything like viruses, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know. I wonder if this is going to create a generation of people, especially like involving school or like, or just a generation of kids that have like hyper awareness of germs even. You know what I mean? Like what if everyone becomes like Howie Mandel? You know what I mean? Like to an extreme, you know? And like what if this created that? You know what I mean? Or what if this, what are the social implications from this moving forward, even if we have a vaccine, even if we have these things that are, you know, on the track back to what we had. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you asking. And in fact, I have, I've wondered about that a lot, and I feel like I've got very few answers. The one answer I guess I would have, and I'm so glad it's neat to have somebody ask me a question.
Yeah.
This is not about me at all, but I would say that what I find interesting is I'm wondering if we're going to, I almost get the sense that we're going to maybe, at least I know for myself, I know I can't answer for everybody else, really appreciate and really be in those moments more intensely with people and never take that for granted.
Yeah.
You know, just to, and what's weird is these interviews I used to do, these were audio, you know, where I would meet people at Living Arts or at their studio and be able to actually do these, you know, in the moment with, you know, actually with people. And, you know, the Zoom thing, I feel like, you know, it's definitely been an adaptation, but it's, I definitely think it's, there's definitely going to be not a, there's definitely not going to be any taking that for granted, you know, having that social interaction and being able to be with people in the community.
And just, I really wonder like, how it's going to just be. Being, sorry, go.
Oh, I apologize. Oh, you go ahead. Sorry about that.
You good. Even just being at the Living Arts, like, first Friday opening.
Oh, yeah.
It felt more exhilarating,
you
know, post like the first one we'd ever been to, because I was like, I'm around people, you know what I mean? And it was safe, but it was still that much more, I don't know, exciting in a sense, or at least more, I don't know, more important at the same time, because we were in lack of that, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, and I wonder too if this is how this will affect, you know, just in terms of from a creative standpoint, just any thoughts on as far as how things might look creatively after this time, you know, maybe different, you know, different types of work, different types of projects, you know, different types of gatherings and interacting with the community.
Yeah, I think social activism art is strongest that it's been in a long time, as far as like outdoor street murals, like when we when the rally was downtown and everyone boarded up their windows with the like plywood stuff and everyone painted on that, a lot of like big outdoor pieces I think are getting more and more popular, as well as I think there's gonna be a section in time where everyone's paintings and everything has the mask. Someone's gonna be like a time marker in itself, you know, depending on the art that is made, and I'm curious to see how far that keeps happening. You know what I mean? It's probably going to happen it could keep going until post-vaccine even. I don't know. It could keep going. But I think that that's going to be like a huge time marker in art history as far as just when this started and everyone's personal almost like discography as an artist, like, you know, and just seeing how that evolves as well. And I really am curious on the state of performance art. I think there's been some performance art at a lot of the statues that have been torn down. And things like that, as far as like projection work is getting like a second wind, it seems like, or at least more of a spotlight on the news that I haven't seen personally be as like as big as it is right now onto the statues I don't know, things like that. But yeah, so that's kind of what I think is gonna happen. But yeah,
sorry about this. I was trying to mute myself. Unfortunately, this today has just been one of those days. There's actually a roofing contractor up above, and so basically that's going on. So I was trying to mute that out a little bit so that that wouldn't be bothersome for you. I apologize.
I couldn't hear it. It's okay.
Interesting. Yeah, it's definitely been one of those kind of days. I was going to ask you, I wonder in some ways, can you see possibly anything creatively? Maybe looking back, you know, not necessarily capturing anything from right now, but maybe just the act of purely looking back at this time once we're past this,
like
seeing anything that could be done creatively, just to kind of just to be able to remember what this time was like, you know, looking back.
Good question. I don't know. Retrospection, I feel like permeate all of our lives, and I probably like 30 to 20 years past this, I'm sure like there'll be a resurgence in what this like this experience has been for people that have went through it and have really like had even more time to kind of like marinate in it and think about like all the trickle down repercussions that we can't see yet because we're in it and we're in the thick of it. And I'm really curious to see what will happen and what those are, and especially with public art, especially with all of the social movements, etc., and how like all of those can inform art moving forward and how it already is. And so I don't know, I feel like it's just going to get bigger and bigger and more public and more grandiose and hopefully more unified in voice too, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's something I certainly do wonder about, you know, just as far as what, you know, how we're going to come together in public, you know, to experience art and creativity after this. And it seems like there's so many possibilities. And also wonder in some ways if we're going to be different people, you know, just due to the fact that we, you know, there was a period of time where we had to wear masks. And I was even thinking the other day just about, you know, like, for instance, Living Arts, where people make an appointment, you know, to go in and view art, you know, just how that's going to change things.
Yeah.
In terms of what it feels like to do it that way versus, you know, going with a large crowd for an opening night, so to speak.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people, even like with the masks, be really creative and almost use them like billboards for themselves, or, you know, it's very strange. Like everyone's constantly using art in this movement. It feels like even online on like different social media platforms, people are like graphic designers are even getting like a big wind on how they process and can give out information that will help whatever movement that they're advocating for. And even that sense is being like almost like even more utilitarian graphic design work for social like justice movements and things I'm seeing a lot of, and like whole accounts that are dedicated to explaining issues and things like that, all while using really modern, like really contemporary graphic design too. So I feel like even though this time it has a lot of negatives, it's also producing some of the coolest art that we've seen, or at least a lot of like different art that we've seen. And I'm just excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. And then I was going to I was going to ask as well, just as far as, you know, Living Arts, just maybe hearing just a little bit. I know we talked a little bit about that at the panel discussion, but also just wanted to see if there's any additional thoughts in terms of just how you, you know, after what has happened during this time, you know, how you see living arts and what it means to you, and what you see for that going forward.
Kind of to reiterate what I said in the other one, it's always the wild card on the block, you know, and with everything, I think pushing to even like more extremes as far as unique art, like mediums being combined together in ways that I think only living arts has really just like opened the doors for in certain aspects. Like a lot of galleries will focus on specific types of art, which is important and which is good. But every time I go to living arts, or it's always a surprise. I never know what type of art that I'm going to walk into. And I think with things, like I said, moving towards more extreme kind of forms of expression, I'm doubly excited to see what living arts finds and what they can showcase in ways that only they can, and that only this time in history will probably be able to produce at the same time. And so hopefully it becomes like a mutually beneficial like cycle that will happen once I see what they do. So I'm really just excited, and that I think, like I said, it's important for a community to have a gallery such as this where that kind of unprecedented obscure types of art can live and breathe and have a platform, and really have a platform.
And then I didn't know, and I didn't want to put you on the spot at all, but as far as I'm seeing behind you, and I didn't know if any of that what is your work, just what I'm seeing behind you there.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. My room is covered with my art, all that, like everything.
Yeah.
And I, this wall over here is where all the art that other people have given me is. It's like a little shrine to gifts that other friends have given me. If I like go see my other artist friends and they let me live with them, we'll like trade paintings as far like for rent or whatever, you know what I mean? So I have a lot of works over there that are trade pieces. And then over here, there's my swords. I really like swords. And then I also have some of my old TCC like finals drawings and stuff like that. I used to work really heavily in vine charcoal because I feel like it's like a form of painting because it's so like loose and malleable.
Yeah.
And I did a series that's on my website that that is of feet. It's of like four different sections in one person's day, just focused on like their feet though. And it was an ex-boyfriend that was a wrestler. And he had like incredible legs, and I really just wanted to draw him. And he was the only person that would sit for me for that long.
So
that's what these over here are. You can kind of see it over here.
Yeah.
And then this is a puzzle that me and my grandma made.
I dig it. Yeah. No, I was gonna say it is really cool to actually see the space. I mean, do you actually do any creating in this particular room? Or?
Yes, I am. The big pieces were done in a shared studio that I share with my dad, who's in, you know, a metal band.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those were made behind a drum set, like the big paintings, because that was for that space. But like smaller works are made in here. And I have one up here, actually. I'll show you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Here, check it out. Here. I have a piece over here, and this is where I practice piano too sometimes.
Yeah.
And that area over there is where I create. And then like on this desk that I have the laptop on is, I have I guess it would be like a drawer's, what is it? A cartographer's desk. You know, the ones
that come up. Yeah.
I'm blanking on the names, but so this is like where I create all the smaller stuff.
Yeah, I really appreciate this, and I really didn't want to put you on the spot. It's so interesting after doing these, you know, especially during the pandemic, it just kind of occurred to me as I was hearing you talking, in fact, hearing you speaking about staying with your friends and doing, you know, painting them and having those interviews, it also really gave me the opportunity to really appreciate, you know, when people do these Zoom calls, that we get this opportunity to sort of visit people's faces in a different way. So I was almost hesitant to ask, but then all of a sudden I thought, well, why not give it a shot, you know? Yeah.
No worries. So like when I graduated from RSU with my bachelor's, my capstone project was four panels of me in my room looking at like my closet door mirror. And so it was like a literal and metaphorical reflection piece. And each of them was supposed to be representative of a different year of undergrad. And I really like went in with all the details on like my personal space in my room, because it changes all the time. Like I'm constantly moving around and changing like the whole layout of everything like almost every 2 months. And just cause I like change. And so that was one of the first kind of inspirations to continue looking in people's bedrooms. But I was like, well, I've been here, you know, I've represented my own space. Like, so I'm going to be nosy and go and look at everyone else's spaces.
Yeah,
and just kind of compare notes, essentially.
and the other thing that's coming to mind too is, do you find that even though these are, you know, friends, people you've known for a period of time, were there any surprises or just any ways in which maybe you started seeing them differently, just as a result of being there with them in those moments? Or
yes, it kind of gave me a window into the way people's brains work as far as like when they organize a space and what they prioritize as far as, I don't know, like feng shui, I guess. and it kind of just gave me a window to also see people's workspaces as well. Like some people have like their bedrooms with their office, you know what I mean? And like, or if they're in a relationship, the way that their space is organized as well is completely different than I've noticed people that are single. And, you know, and like certain aspects like that. And even in Bedroom Talk, I interviewed two brothers, and even how they organize their space is completely different too.
Yeah.
And they're at different points in their life too, but I don't know, I maybe expected more similarities and there wasn't. And I don't know, it just became almost like a social experiment to kind of like almost like a personality test to kind of just see how people put themselves in their space and how what they pick from themselves to prioritize. So yeah, it was very interesting in that regard as well.
Yeah, I just think I really do. I find myself very intrigued just by the idea of, you know, just, you know, artistically, you know, visiting, you know, the place of the spaces where people that you know very well, you know, that they spend, you know, a good percentage of time of their lives. And the other thing is to actually, I think it's really cool to actually have, you know, a space dedicated for, you know, artwork that your friends and people you know have created. Being able to actually visit that on a regular basis and have that right there with you.
It's really
definitely
cool.
I'll
just go over there and stare at it and just be like, oh, all these things. Because, you know, I paint my friends a lot, and I don't always get painted. And I really like to have people, you know, give me yarn about me too. You know, a little selfish, but it's super fun. And I've accumulated some really cool pieces over there because of it. And I'm very, very thankful for it.
Well, it's I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to really, you know, to deeply share about your journey and your art and your perspective and how you see the world. And I also want to thank you very much just for being willing to share, you know, about things in your own space. And that's really gotten me thinking a lot about the importance of that and how that can be represented artistically. So I honor you for that and really thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions about it? Like, or like, what are you thinking about as far as like, how do you express yourself in certain artistic outlets? I see a painting back there.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I actually, in fact, thank you for asking. This is basically, I unfortunately am not artistic at all and don't really have any ability, but these are essentially works that are ones that I have found really meaningful. And so I tend to just I unfortunately don't have enough space to put it. If I put up everything that I had, it would be tough to actually find space for all of it. So I tend to be one of those people that I'll leave stuff leaning against the wall, you know, anywhere I can find space to display things. I also tend to be someone who kind of hangs on to stuff. So some things I'm beginning to find are art, even if somebody didn't create them for that reason. Right. You know, just I was always fascinated with Andy Warhol, how he had basically this huge collection of stuff that maybe some people necessarily wouldn't see as art, but he surrounded himself with that, with those things. And so just kind of looking at those, just some of these everyday things that maybe people wouldn't consider art, you know, that could be.
Right. Like reframing the power that is to be able to reframe any object that you can place value on and make it art is, I think, so cool. And that's kind of the essential kind of pulling force on when you make or even when you find. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And what's interesting is these are works that, well, I guess I take it back. These are not, but basically these are works that, you know, people that I've actually interviewed since I've been doing this over, you know, almost 4 years. And I've kind of thought about even at some point, maybe kind of, you know, rotating that out so that, you know, so that I can actually, you know, give an opportunity, you know, to just, you know, kind of have different ones of those in the background. And I find too that, you know, having work of people who I have actually spoken with or had a conversation like this, it's really allowed me to appreciate that, you know, clearly there's a lot of artist work out there. I've not been able to meet the artist. And I think at the end of the day, that's probably, I would say that is really why I do this. I think at the end of the day, it is really cool. Whenever I go to art exhibits, I'm always thinking I'd love to talk to the artist and really find out more about who they are, because I think that, you know, this is almost one, these works are like one dimension of someone, but there's so much more to it than just, yeah, that's just like one dimension of a person.
Okay, I have another question. Since you were going to people's studios, what's some of the coolest things or unexpected things that you saw in someone's studio?
Gosh, that is a great question. And it's been quite a while, you know, just with the pandemic.
Right.
I'm really trying to think. I can actually tell you.
Okay.
It's really, as weird as it sounds, probably some of the things that I've found myself loving the most that was very unexpected was I really like seeing drop cloths with just random drippings of paint, or, you know, things that people use on ease. I mean, some of these things, I don't know the names of them, but it's all the stuff that isn't, you know, that maybe they would not consider art. I don't know if I wish I would have asked that question, but it's just all the random, you know, paint drippings on the floor. In fact, I was at a cooperative studio that used to be over in Kendall Whittier, and I remember myself literally afterwards doing an interview, just walking around and taking pictures of the floor. Yeah, a snapping picture, and then kind of representing that, you know, basically just, you know, for myself to really look at that as you know, maybe that was unintentional work that they created that they didn't even knew they created, or maybe they did.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Cool. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, just some of the unintentional stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing I find that I really always enjoy, you know, being in someone's studio is there again, the things that they don't consider, maybe they don't consider art. There again, I wish I would have had the presence of mind to ask, but it's just all the cool stuff that they have that they're surrounded with that I find, like stuff that might be on a windowsill or just, you know, different places.
Just things that happen, almost like happenstance kind of things. Like, I really enjoy people's palettes. I like to look at people, like when, like other painters, and see how they organize their paint or how dirty or how like precise and clean they can be, you know.
I really
in that way I kind of the idea of like getting into those people's spaces and seeing things that necessarily aren't meant to be seen as far as like whatever the finished product is. I agree. That's cool.
And I have to think too that, you know, when we were talking a little bit about how things might, you know, possibly be different, I wonder if maybe in the future, you know, having the privilege of being able to go to people's spaces and not have to worry about, you know, a virus or the pandemic, maybe if that's something that really, I mean, I'm almost sensing that I could see not taking that nearly, I don't know if that I ever took it for granted, but I feel like it's just going to be at a different level.
Yeah. You
know, realizing what a privilege it is to be able to go and be in someone's space and not have to worry or fear for your life, so to speak.
Right. And I wonder if more like studio visits will be the norm as far as shows go as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it is like selective audiences. And that in itself could breed like experiences that haven't been as much as the traditional gallery experience, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so I wonder if that, how that will shift too. I'm just so curious to see what happens.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could almost see like this, you know, like multi, I think I've seen these before where they'll have like, you know, you'll go visit basically different artist studios. It'll be like on a Sunday after. I feel like that was here, or maybe that was in Oklahoma City, but I almost could see myself like really wanting to do something like that. Like if, you know, different artists opened up their spaces, and maybe the idea was for them to talk a little bit about maybe how they see their own spaces, you know, coming through this situation. And yeah.
I think there'll probably be like outdoor house parties too, you know, with like art in the lawn and you know, things like that. And I think that's already probably being worked on, or, you know, like planned out, you know what I mean?
Definitely excited to see what the future brings. Well, Spencer, this has been great. I'm so thankful that you took the time and were willing to share, you know, some of your space as well. And it's been great continuing the conversation.
Same. Thank you for having me.
Well, certainly. Thanks.